listener production.
How do you feel about your body and how you look? Do you love it? Hate it? Feel ambivalent about it? What about if you looked different to everyone else? Would that change how you felt about yourself? I chat to Carly Finley today, who's an appearance advocate, a writer, and an author. She was born with a rare genetic skin disorder called ichthyosis. In today's episode, Carly and I talk about what inspires her to keep advocating for equality despite the many social barriers that she faces. I think it's a reminder to all of us that being comfortable in your body isn't something that's dictated by others.
It was probably when I was about 3 and I went to a daycare center. Like, my mum had to drop me at a different daycare center to what I usually went to. And so it was then that I felt like knew that I was really different. The diversity and representation until quite recently of people with disability, people with facial differences, skin conditions in the media, in advertising has been really bad. Mm. I mean, you know, we see like anti-dandruff ads where people with dandruff are deemed unlovable or embarrassing, and you know, like, my hair has scale in it, skin flakes. We see villains being cast in Disney movies and other types of movies where they have a facial difference or a scar. We also see the kind of like inspiration porn, which Della Young talks about, where disabled people are seen as inspirations and that we inspire people for doing nothing, like by doing nothing, like just by getting out of bed. And you know, I'll be really polite on my socials when people say, you know, you're inspirational, but I often say, you know, how do I inspire you? Because if I've inspired you to remove ableist language from your vocabulary or write to a production company about terrible representation or call out bad media or whatever, then I'm happy to be called inspiring. But not just for existing.
Yeah, it is always awkward when someone comes up to you in the street and says, I just think you're so brave. And it's like,
oh, no.
What, because I'm at Woolies doing the grocery shop? That's just like a normal everyday task that most people do. And it does feel at times quite condescending and patronising to be told you're brave for leaving your house.
Yes, and it's also a projection of how they feel. Like, if they look like this, they wouldn't want to leave the house. That's what that implies. Yeah. I think we are brave for enduring the stuff that we do. Like, that's the brave thing, not looking how we do.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's why I do what I do, Carly. You know, that's why I put myself out there in the media and on Instagram and on social media, because I never saw anyone with burns as a kid. I never saw anyone with a skin condition. And so when I was burnt, I'd never even met someone who had a really big burn injury. And so I guess I kind of want to be that example for people to see that even if you have a skin condition, even if you have burns, life goes on and you can still live a really amazing life.
Yeah, same. And it was when your Women's Weekly cover was out, that was such a pivotal moment for me. I hadn't bought the magazine ever, and I remember buying it and just, you know, I wrote about it on my blog and I was just like, this changes things. Like, we're seeing this beautiful woman on the cover and, you know, someone that's a little bit like me. You know, of course we've had a different experience, but someone who would experience like the social barriers like me is on the cover. And it was just incredible.
So. How do you deal with those social barriers? Like, because I get it too, when you're down the street, people stare. What are your strategies? Because I think, obviously, our experiences are quite unique, but I teach mums how to run in my running program. And, you know, some of the women who go for a run feel really self-conscious. They feel like people are staring at them. What are your strategies to cope or to deal with that?
I kind of don't notice a lot of the time. Yeah. Like, I'm in my own world and other people will notice, and I've had to tell people, like, particularly newer friends, sort of, you know, don't make it a big deal. Like, this isn't about you. I was with someone who, absolutely not a friend, I dubbed them as a friend because of this, but I met this person who really wanted to get to know me as a friend. We'd met at a writer's conference a few years ago. We were having lunch, just ordinary, and afterwards, she wrote on her Facebook, like, you know, I had lunch with Carly today. I didn't even notice the people staring at her kind of thing. And I'm just like, well, you did because you made a point of it. And I, you know, I said that, hey, this was really weird. Like, people's stares, they shouldn't make you uncomfortable. When I'm out with Adam, my husband, he'll notice it. And sometimes he'll stare back. There was one time this guy came up to us and he goes, oh, I've got a, you know, here's a card. I was cured. I had your condition a few years ago and I was cured. I went to a fountain in Paris.
Yeah.
And Adam goes, bet you didn't. And that was it. And he was just mortified. Yeah, some of that was really funny. I mean, I feel like when just absolute blatant discrimination happens, so not just a stare, but like a taxi driver refusing to take me, or, you know, like kids laughing at me or whatever, it kind of always interrupts a really good day. You know, on both my birthday and my book launch, I've had taxi drivers, you know, discriminate against me. And so I find that really tricky. And then the other thing I find really hard is if I choose to write about it, yeah, I get this secondary ableism and I get people going, oh, of course they don't know what it was. Of course they're going to be curious. Or like, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I can't even find the words to describe how unfair that is. It's like if you share your own experiences, then people say, oh no, they wouldn't have meant it like that, or no, I'm sure they didn't mean it like that. So you do have that double whammy. I know you're passionate about face equality. Can you talk to me a bit about what that is?
Yeah, so face equality is a concept developed by the late James Partridge. James was an incredible advocate, an activist and a media person in the UK. But he founded Changing Faces in the UK and also Face Equality International. And he did this because he wanted to see better representation of people with facial differences in films and TV. He wanted to see better advertising and also that face equality is seen as a human right. He wants to see that face equality is kind of written into the Disability Discrimination Acts around the world, that it's recognised by the UN, that when people do vilify us, it is taken seriously by authorities, I know, like police and etc. So I'm an ambassador for Face Equality International, which is really a real privilege, and they do some really great work in making sure that there's like education resource packs for schools, for media, I just saw they've got a new one around medical practitioners as well. I sometimes lecture at university. I'm not even a doctor, but I lecture in medicine. And it's really funny, like some of the questions people ask me, I don't know if you get this, but when you do a public speech, it's always for people that come up afterwards and go, oh, I didn't want to ask this publicly, who have the worst questions. And, you know, I talked a lot about how people have this underestimation of me about not loving myself, or someone asked me one day, like this is a first year uni student, asking me that if I had children and if I found out that the child had the condition in a prenatal scan, would I have an abortion? And I'm like, you literally don't know me. And I was here talking about all about disability pride and how, you know, how important it is to have different representation. And this is your first question. And so the messaging around stuff for medical practitioners, I think, is so, so important, because often we're just treated like specimens.
Yeah.
It's exciting for people. It's like they've hit the jackpot when they see someone like me, because it's so rare. So, yeah.
Yeah. But also it's not a good feeling to feel like you're a specimen. You know, when you receive that question from that med student, I guess the implication that she was getting at is that if you have a skin condition, then obviously you'd rather be dead. I guess that's what she was getting at, and I suppose that's kind of the commentary that I've received as well. And so how do you, you know, you get all of these messages from the media, from the world, from people around you saying that you don't look like you should look and you're not conforming to that beauty standard. How do you reconcile that?
I know this is going to sound really arrogant, but my mum used to say to me, you know, you are number one, don't, you know, like focus on you, don't worry about what other people say or think. So that was a real big part of that. I think also stopping reading the media that made me feel bad was a really good thing.
Yeah, I love
thing.
That.
I grew up reading, you know, Dolly and Girlfriend and then Cosmo and Cleo, and I don't read those types of things anymore because I don't want to be, you know, told that, you know, I'm never going to get a boyfriend because I have this type of skin, because those magazines literally say that. I think that there's an expectation that I could not be confident looking like this, or I couldn't love myself. I don't know when the turning point was, but for a long time I would wear grey and brown because I didn't want to stand out much. And then sort of I just realised, you know what, I really don't like those colours. I'm going to wear bright colours. I'm going to wear what makes me happy. And that really changed the way I felt about myself. Finding, you know, real friends, I think, and the internet has just been so good for that. But also I feel like it's a lot easier to love yourself than to hate yourself, you know, and finding the disability community, coming to reach a disability identity. I didn't always identify as disabled, and it was only when I met other disabled people and realised these social barriers that we share are very similar. And I think even seeing you in the media, and, you know, again, I stressed that, you know, our experiences are so different, but seeing you put yourself out there and just be such an example of good representation and self-love as well, and also that you don't take any shit. It doesn't seem like you do anyway. You just so, yeah, I just think that that is really important. And also I feel one of the things that I feel, and I don't know if you get this as well, when you are contacted by parents of kids who may have experienced burns or have scarring, they're very grief-stricken over the thought that their child might not get married or have children. Mm. And I'm like, that one, they're a child, but also two, I feel like loving yourself is so much more important than finding a partner in life.
Yeah.
A romantic, you know? Yeah. And yes, it's great having a romantic partner. You know, you've got Michael and I've got Adam, but that isn't what makes me. It's not what makes me confident.
Carly will be joining us on another guest pep talk soon. You can find more of Carly on her socials at Carly Finley, or head to our website, carlyfinley.com. Thanks for listening to Tarea Pitt's Pep Talk. Follow to get new pep talks every day. Listener.